about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. 65 degrees, humidity's 22, winds are out of the west at 26 miles an hour, gusting up to 34 miles an hour, and we do have a few warnings out already. Hazardous weather outlook for western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Fire weather, near critical fire weather conditions will be possible this afternoon across western Oklahoma and western North Texas for the next seven now, Wednesday through Monday. So be careful out there. And we already have wintry weather forecast coming up, and I'll talk about that warning coming up for this Saturday. Sunday morning just looks cold. Anyway, this looks cold. It's been overdue. Well, a little bit about my Jimmy Clark's adventures yesterday. So out here west of Elk, I take care of some cattle for some people, and we have three tanks out there, just installed two big nice tanks that I bought from Bandy Silk over at Delhi. And we had goldfish in the big tank where the solar pump is, not where the windmill is. And believe it or not, I heard about it. My landlord had told me about it, and I didn't believe it until it happened. Jackie put 12 goldfish in there, 8 or 12 goldfish in there 2 years ago. And this last winter when we had our little cold spell that I didn't have the solar pump on because I didn't have any cattle over there, that tank was froze solid. Goldfish were in it. Didn't think much about it. Thought, well, they're dead. We'll have to replace them again. Well, lo and behold, when the tank thawed out and I turned the pump on, when we put some more heifers in there to get bred this last spring, there's like 30 goldfish in there. And I guess they breed in ice. I don't know what the deal is. Or maybe it's their way of AI and it just trickles over to the next fish and they have babies. I don't know what the deal is, but it works. It's a true story. Even frozen, goldfish will make it through it. So yesterday I had this wise idea, like I'm going to go over there and catch some of them with my fishing net out of my boat or out of my kayak. Go over there. It's a 12-foot tank, 2.5 foot tall. It's a big tank. Went over there. Well, after an hour, I caught two. So I'm going to plan B today. I got a fish net, cast net, that's the same size as that tank. So I have an assistant going to show up after the show today, and we're going to drop the net in there. And some of those fish are going to get moved today. So that was one of my adventures yesterday, because goldfish do keep the tanks clean. So here we go. We got the grain report later on in our second and third segment. I got Greg Allen in here from the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. We're going to be talking all kinds of stuff. Fire, the whole nine yards. Cotton's at $1.11 a pound. Live cattle, $1.38. Lean hog is at 83 cents a pound. Oats are at $7.08 a pound. Palm oil, for you farmers that use it, is $5,250 a ton. Hard red winter wheat is at $7.90 a bushel. Came down from yesterday. Corn's at $6.07, hanging in there. Milo's hanging in there at $6.10. Soybean, boom, over the 13 mark. $13.05 a bushel. Hey, well, I'm thinking about it. Our KCO Ag Text line is open. And I'd like to have a text in from some of you farmers to tell me why we don't raise more soybeans around here than we do. Just want to know. what the deal is, why there's not soybeans raised in this area, because I don't know if our ground's not made for it or what the deal is, but I think somebody's out there way more intelligent than me on that, but I'd sure like to know, and our listeners would probably like to know, why there's not more soybeans grown in our area. Well, soybean futures jumped in overnight trading as dry weather persists in parts of Brazil and Argentina, threatening crops in the South American countries. Dryness will continue in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, despite rains in central states that might slightly improve moisture, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist from Maxar. Same thing in Argentina, hot and dry conditions. Same thing in western Oklahoma, hot and dry conditions. So they're going through the same thing we are. Dry weather will persist through Wednesday in Argentina before giving way to light rains in some growing areas Thursday and Friday. Wheat futures were lower overnight as some rain and forecasts for the U.S. Eastern and the Midwest. Midwest this week could improve soil moisture. He said snow may fall in the area today with rain expected in the eastern parts of soft red winter wheat growing areas. In the southern plains, light rain will favor parts of southeastern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas Wednesday. Dry weather prevails otherwise through Friday. Limited showers this week will allow moisture shortages to continue across the wheat belt. A bit of good news, cold temperatures in northern counties of the southern plains shouldn't end in winter kill. Little or no rain has fallen in the past 30 days. I'm going to change it like yesterday, 60 days in parts of southwestern Kansas or the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles in far western Oklahoma, where hard red winter wheat is growing, according to the National Weather Service. Soybean futures for November delivery added 12 cents to $13.83 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained $3.50 to $411.80 a short ton, while soy oil added 0.92 cents to 57.77 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery rose 2 cents to $6.16¾ a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery fell 4.5 cents to $7.99¼ a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 6 cents to $8.41 a bushel. Well, inspections of wheat for overseas delivery rose week to week, while corn and bean assessments declined, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Wheat inspections in the 7 days that ended on December 23rd totaled 271,349 metric tons. That's up from 226,739 metric tons a week earlier, but well below the 407,374 tons, to be exact, examined from the exports during the same week a year earlier. Corn assessments last week were reported at 719,031 metric tons, excuse me, down from 1 million tons the previous week. The total was also down from the 1.27 million tons inspected same time last year. Soybean inspections came in at 1.58 million metric tons, down from 1.89 million metric tons the previous week. During the same week last year, the agency inspected 2.27 million metric tons for export. So it's down about, what is that, 750,000 tons there, 750,000 tons. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the United States Department of Agriculture has inspected 12 million tons of metric tons of corn, 12 million, yeah, metric tons of corn for overseas delivery. That's down 14 million tons from the same time frame as last year. Soybean assessments since the beginning of September now stand at 28.9 million metric tons, down from 37.5 million tons inspected the same period a year earlier. Wheat inspections since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st are at 11.9 million metric tons, and that's down from 14.5 million metric tons same time last year. Well, there's all kinds of crazy weather going on all over. Winter weather advisories are in effect for eastern Minnesota and Iowa, all of Wisconsin, and dozens of counties in northern Illinois, according to the National Weather Service. In eastern Iowa, up to 3 inches of snow is expected before a storm moves out, along with a light glaze of ice. Wind gusts in the area are expected as strong as 35 miles an hour. That advisory is in effect till 6 o'clock tonight. In North Dakota and parts of northwestern South Dakota, wind chill warnings and advisories are in effect. In North Dakota, a warning has been issued till 6 o'clock tonight as wind chills are forecast to fall as low as minus 45 degrees. Believe me, I've been in North Dakota when the wind chill was 40 to 50 below. And for some reason, it is really cold for some reason. I tried to do one of those, you know, how the Weather Channel, they do these, when they go to these hurricanes and the water's like 4 inches deep in the street, and they go out and get in the bar ditch where it's deeper so it makes it look like they're in a flood with the hurricane coming in and people walk behind them. I tried to do one of them one time on a frack up there, and I got frostbite kind of on my nose, so I went back in the frack van. Thought the joke's on them, but anyway. Frostbite and hypothermia are possible if precautions are not taken. Exposed skin may quickly frostbitten or be frozen. The dangerous cold wind chills could cause frostbite on exposed skin in less than 10 minutes. And I want to tell you something. I was out there for probably 3 minutes and it hurt. My feet hurt all night long, even with the heater running on it. So dry conditions in western Oklahoma and our buddies over there in the Texas Panhandle continue. And we got fire watch is in effect. So anyway, well, when we come back, I'm going to have Greg Allen on here. And we're going to talk about prescribed fires, all kinds of things to go with that, because I know a lot of people are afraid of doing controlled prescribed burns, but we have people out here that are trained to do it right and do it only in the right conditions, and we'll hear some of his stats on that. So don't go nowhere. And remember, today is Hay Day Tuesday. And later coming up on the show, I got some hay markets for you and some hay stories for you. Some pretty cool numbers on custom hay baling and all kinds of other stuff going on in Oklahoma and Texas. I don't even know if I can get it all covered today, but the numbers are out there. And you guys know how I love numbers and interesting numbers. You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 13th. 1,503 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 400 brought 205. 6 at 673 brought 157.50. 17 at 761 brought 163.50. 34 at 858 brought 163. 8 at 997 brought 143. 3 head of heifers at 327 brought 160. 15 at 542 brought 146. 5 at 647 brought 146. 4 at 714 brought 121. 17 at 953 brought 131.50. Butcher cows were 46 to 82. Bred cows 650 to 1375. Butcher bulls brought 56 to 91.50. Pairs brought 800 to 1425. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Currently 65 degrees, wind is out of the west at 20 miles an hour, and wind gusts are up to 29 miles an hour, so humidity's 22, so it's not a good day to be out there working on your corner post. I know you can't. Is it?
No.
It's not. Well, before I get to Greg, I had a couple of texts in on my question on the soybean, and I appreciate it. First one was out of Roger Mills County. The poachers, in parentheses, is the deer, ate them. High pH problem, too, on soybeans. Thank you. And then I got one in on my private text line. See what here? From Kiowa County. Soybeans will grow here, but it's typically too dry here for them to produce good yields. I've grown them four times, some double crop and some primary crop. So I'm getting some answers. Any other answers out there, be more than glad for you to text in. I won't mention your name unless I don't like you. So anyway, well, on the show with me today is Greg Allen, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, sir.
And you're with the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. You're the coordinator for Western Oklahoma, right?
That's correct.
All right, cool. Welcome to the show. Before we get into any details on prescribed burns, how did you get into this? Are you a fire bug?
Oh, I'm a fire bug, that's for sure. I just retired from NRCS in March, so I have 30.
From what county?
Roger Mills County.
Roger Mills
yes,
County.
Sir. Yep. Yes, sir.
I thought that. I just want to be sure.
Yeah, so I have some experience, or a lot of experience with them, so. And but they were a little leery about how involved I could get with the agency as a federal, you know, agency.
Oh, yeah.
So
I was
excited to when the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association offered me this position to promote prescribed burning in Western Oklahoma. And you're like, Jimmy, what in the world's he doing on, you know, this time of the year with it so dry and everything? But we
education.
It's education, Jimmy, and I like to look a year in advance at least to prepare a burn. It really makes me nervous when a guy says, well, I want to burn this weekend. Can you get me a burn plan ready? I mean, no, not very often.
No, it takes a while to get a plan together.
It does. And a plan, people say, well, what is a plan? And it's a several-page document, actually, that I'll put together, which has the map of the property. It's going to have the homes downwind. We're going to work around those, try not to smoke out the neighbor, of course.
Unless the mosquitoes are bad.
Well, yeah, they might want it at that point. So, but anyway, try to work away from any hospitals, highways, you know, that type of stuff. And there are places that you just can't do a prescribed burn right now.
Right.
But I thought it would be very important to talk about this, even with the weather conditions, that when we do get some rain, we can prepare, you know, our farm sites for this kind of situation. So, as you know, we had a really pretty decent summer, and we grew a lot of native grass.
Right.
And now it's really volatile.
Yes.
And you guys did a really good job on that last week with the fire chief here in Elk City.
Kyle, yep.
Yep. Man, he did an awesome job, and he probably cringed hearing me today. But, like I said, it's a plan, and we've got a plan down the road for to improve our rangelands.
Well, and, like I said on the show the other day when I was talking about one of my Jimmy Clark adventures to Visalie, you know, north of Hammond, basically all the way up to Visalie, there's some big native grass pastures there, and I'm talking native, not, you know, High Plains Blue Stem or
right.
Bermuda. That's the old ground there. That's right. The old native grass. Man, it's big.
But fire has always been part of the native management systems. Our American Indians did it a long time before. So this isn't anything new.
No.
I mean, it's part of the management system. We didn't have fire trucks 100 years ago. So,
they just let her go.
Yeah, you know, let her go until a natural barrier stopped it. And right. We do use natural barriers as part of our plans at times.
Well, define a natural barrier.
A natural barrier could be the South Canadian River.
Yep.
It may be the North Fork of the Red River, you know.
Right.
And we use those quite often when we can. It makes it cheaper on the landowner to prepare, you know, for his prescribed fire.
Yep.
And I don't ever like to say control fire. Control fire is when it's out.
Yeah, it's, you know, controlled.
I don't like that terminology.
I catch myself saying that, but I've got better at it. First time I met you,
right?
We just remembered a while ago. First time I met you was southeast of Sayre, and we did a prescribed. I don't remember how big that was, 160 acres or something like that. It wasn't a
something
huge,
close.
Yeah,
yes.
But with our, you guys had invited me out because I was with Quail Forever.
Exactly.
And what I remember about that is how controlled it was. It was prescribed, but everything was done right. Your disc around the deal, you back burned, and then we lit it on fire, and it got smoky, but it went away pretty quick. But what I seen, that the part I really wanted to see, was as soon as that fire went out, the animals that were landing back in that fire area, picking dead, eating dead bugs and the whole nine yards. It works.
It's amazing. I went to a week-long training at Texas Tech, and who would ever thought they had pheasants in weeping lovegrass? But the pheasants would fly up over the smoke and land back in the burned area. And we actually had a policy writer from Washington, D.C. there. I said, you are watching this, right?
Yeah.
The benefits to the wildlife. And the benefits to the wildlife and probably the encroachment of eastern red cedars are probably our two primary reasons to do a prescribed burn in this part of the country.
Well, you're listening to Today in Ag. I'm Jimmy Clark, and today my guest is Greg Allen with the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. He is the coordinator for Western Oklahoma, and we got a lot more to talk about. Like I said, my shows aren't long enough. Yesterday I thought, man, they are eating long enough, but I'm sure everybody start turning me off about 61 minutes because they got things to go do. I don't want them to stop from work and get in trouble at work for listening to the show. But one of the things we were talking about before the show come on is during these, like right now, you know, there doesn't need to be any fires going on right now.
Exactly.
And, you know, we were talking about how crunchy the grass is right now, and I was talking about going quail hunting, and even though my dog's got an awesome nose on her, you know, if there's no moisture, easily they run into the quail and get them up majority of the time. But thing about it is, if you were to burn your grass right now, and I've read some of the stories of that 400,000 acres that got burnt in Kansas last week or week before, whenever it was, on that fire there, a week ago Friday, wasn't it? A week ago last Friday. It was on a Friday, yeah. And the ground doesn't have a lot of moisture in it right now. And when you do have a fire, you just baked it that much worse. So when we do start getting rain, a lot of it's, you know, it's going to run off if it's a good runoff rain, you know, because that ground's baked. And so, you know, that's why we
one thing I will add to that, we've never killed native grass by a prescribed fire or by a fire even.
Right.
Now, what's going to happen depends on the timing of that wildfire is what is going to recover first.
Right.
Probably going to be the weeds.
Right.
You know, they're going to respond. And when we do wildlife management plans, that is part of your plan. You might want to promote. I know this is going to sound weird to a lot of producers, but you might want to promote a little bit of ragweed because that's the number one quail food for
it is. It's a high.
Quail.
It's high in protein.
Very high in protein. So, and years ago, we would do 1 acre plots next to a plum thicket. You talk about maximizing. Now, a 1 acre fire is more complicated than doing a section, but
yeah.
And it scares me a lot more, but. There are places to improve, you know, to promote weeds even to improve your system, whether it be for wildlife or cattle. Because, I mean, even cattle, they're not only going to eat grass.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to eat a smorgasbord like we like to. So
I call it the Jimmy Clark when we're talking quail.
Yes.
We're talking ragweed, Johnson grasses, and plum thickets, and yuccas, and cactuses.
Sure.
I call it the Jimmy Clark Chinese buffet.
Okay.
Because so, you know how big I am in the quail deal, but
exactly.
But it does, and prescribed fires help everything. And when you know you get a lot of native pastures that's got buffalo grass and stuff like that in there, you notice the cows work around that big grass and don't eat on it. But if you burn it or you mow it, it's amazing when it starts greening back up, those cattle will stay on it and keep it going.
Right. And that's what they're doing with, like, your bunch grasses. That's the primary quail nesting habitat. Those cattle are eating around the edges, that green part in the spring when it comes back out. So that's really good nesting habitat for your quail.
So how,
when I do a plan, we're probably not going to suggest burning your entire place. We're going to leave some habitat,
right?
You know, and some variety for your cattle and the wildlife.
Well, it just depends on what the surrounding area looks like.
Exactly.
Also.
Now, if you got a neighbor that's not into burning, and those birds will go with their short term.
Depends on whether you like him or not.
Yeah. And then, but they're going to come right back, or they're going to use that burned area, like you said, to feed in. And I've seen turkeys actually run into them.
That's
the
what happened
the fire
that day
behind.
I was helping you.
Yeah.
The turkeys just come
right
back in there and was getting after it.
If I find a place, and that's what I suggest to, I have a lot of guys that'll call me, where should I go turkey hunting on black cattle? I said, find a place they've burned, and the birds will be there.
And I bet you've noticed that black cattle and pack saddle and Ellis County up there that Marcus has been getting after.
Oh, yes.
He's a firebug deluxe.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so much better.
We're
from
the same mode.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And he's well, we'll be right back after this. Today, my guest is Greg Allen with the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. And you've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Be right back.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
66 degrees, humidity's 21, winds out of the west 20 miles an hour, gusting up to 26 miles an hour. Well, today, my sponsor for the hat. I got my hat on. Oh, Christy, you're watching because we changed the lighting in here so we can see the hats better live on Facebook. By the way, we're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on the Paragon app on your phone. By the way, it's free. And we're streaming live on the radio if you hadn't noticed yet. But anyway, and then if you missed the show or whatever, you can go to KECOFM.com. But my Stockman's Veterinarian hat I'm wearing today, the clinic. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma in the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main in Elk City. I've been there. I go there. They did a really nice job revamping that area down there. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. I will say the only animal or mammal whatever you want to call them that she said she would not work on, so don't bring it in, is a snake. And so there's no way she's doing that, she said, but I'm going to test her out one of these days when I catch one. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on sites for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor-outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-section and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with a digital X-ray. So also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species, call 580-225-0200. Or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide you for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. And I promise you they do care, because I was going to bring them up in my little article yesterday, Greg, when I was talking about chutes and working cattle and different scenarios to get ready to work cattle's, mainly tempers.
Oh.
Yeah, because they have caused some... working cattle has caused some people to have to go see marriage counselors. And so, but Dr. Mouse and her help come out, and it's all female crew, and they come out, and I just got a palpation head gait there, but we got a nice lot to work, men. And we preg check 35 heifers in probably 30 to 40 minutes. I mean, just went perfect. So it went good. So we didn't have to go see a counselor after that, because that was good. But anyway, but they are. They're the sponsor of my Today in Ag cap sponsor that I wear on the show on Tuesdays, and appreciate their sponsorship. Thanks, Dr. Mouse. You guys have a great day down there. Well, back to Mr. Greg Allen with the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. You guys, how many associations are they in Oklahoma?
Currently, I believe there's 22, which covers about 36 counties.
Okay, and we got 77 counties.
Right, so we're almost halfway there, and we do have an association. It's called the Roger Mills Prescribed Burn Association, but it does cover Beckham County.
That's
also
where we did. That's the association that did the burns down here.
And I don't have any problem splitting that into two. If we can find enough guys that are really interested, want to learn and come to some burns and learn and watch. I learn something every fire I've been on.
Oh, yeah.
Every fire. And I'm guessing, been on 100 or at least, you know.
Right.
So I learned something, even with the training I've had through NRCS in the past. You just have to study the fire, you know, what it's doing, you know, and the vegetation. That's part of your plan, is temperature, humidity, wind speed, vegetation, and so.
And there's some people that are under the concept that grass needs to be dormant or dry. That's not true. Green grass burns just as good as dry grass.
It does, but if we're looking to, say, control eastern red cedar, we're finding that summer burns are just as effective, if not more, because you only have to get that cedar tree to 140 degrees. So say if we're already at 90, 95 degrees, and we've got that dead vegetation, you know, you're not going to eat all your vegetation if you're going to plan for a prescribed burn. So you've got that dead vegetation from the year before. That's what will burn, and some of the green will burn also. But and they seem to be a lot safer burn because your cedar trees are not exploding like they would this time of the year.
Yeah, fire there a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, us fire bugs love that, but unless it's in an uncontrolled situation, then that's scary, and it's hard to control those embers because they, you know, we try to put our fire breaks in 10 times the height of the vegetation at your fire break. Whatever it is. So if you've got a 20-foot cedar, there's no way you're going to be able to get a fire break that wide.
No.
So what we're going to ask a guy to do is go ahead and cut those cedars and move them into the burn area, you know, to make that fire safer.
Right. Yeah, because cedars, man, they're a real pain. And I know some people like it because they said it's good for wildlife. It's not totally true. Yes, deer like to hide in the cedars, and quail like to be under them during a snowstorm and stuff like that. But you talk about taking away from your ground moisture. I got a picture on here on my phone that was taken down here on the river. That cedar was right on the bank of the river, and it, over the last 3 or 4 years, it's been cutting that bank. Well, the two floods we had from the year before, when the river got up, kind of washed it away. And I didn't physically measure it, but I'm a pretty good guesser. But those roots of that cedar tree went 60 to 80 foot each direction.
Wow.
And so you know it's sucking the moisture. Well, they, yes. There's all kinds of myths about how many gallons they use a day, 40, 50 gallons for a 20-foot tree or however that works out. But I don't think anybody scientifically knows, but it's a bunch.
We've done numerous fires, especially with some of our older gentlemen that's been around the farm for a while that had the place before we had all the brush and trees. Yeah, there used to be a spring right there, yeah. And guess what? It shows back up after we get rid of those cedar trees.
Yep,
it's amazing the amount of water that they and salt cedar, which salt cedar can't really be controlled by burning, but that's another brushing.
What is the salt cedar?
Salt cedar, tamarack.
Oh, I got you.
Which is numerous on the North Fork of the Red River.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So. It cannot be controlled, but what we've noticed when we've got rid of the eastern red cedar, that's the next beast that tries to invade. So, and you're pretty well looking at a chemical treatment to control it.
What's them down on Sandy Sanders?
There's a...
It's junipers?
Yes, there is a juniper down. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yep, I got you. Well, you guys, you have all kinds of associations. It'd be great to get more associations in our listening area because, I mean, like right now, we're talking to people in Harmon, Jackson, Greer, Kiowa, Ouachita, Custer, Roger Mills, Beckham, Ellis, Dewey. I mean, we got a big listening
area.
Yeah,
right now, if you look at the map of the current prescribed burn association, there is kind of a hole over there with Custer and Ouachita. And
right.
If there's some folks over there that would like to get together, I can get with John Weir, which is our president with the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. He works for OSU, and it's pretty easy nowadays to get the equipment together, and we work with organizations like Quail Forever, Pheasants yep. Forever, and there's grant money through NRCS and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Oklahoma Fish and Wildlife, so... There's really no excuse not to, other than if you're in a bad location.
Right.
Not to do a burn, at some point.
Like in Roger Mills County, is most of them, your members there, are they farmers and ranchers? Or is it a mixed bag?
Most of them.
Right. Yes.
There have been some folks that have inherited, like CRP ground, that went in
right.
15, 20 years ago. And, part of their management now, one of their choices is prescribed burning, and we can help them with that.
We got a listener that says Google. Says that salt cedars drink 200 gallons a day.
I've heard that numerous times.
Yeah. So.
And like I said, you don't really realize they're there on the river bottoms until you get rid of the eastern red cedar.
Right.
They really stick out at that point.
Yeah, it's that. Sandy and I were taking the dogs down the river when I come across that cedar, and I was looking which way is he into the roots, and I followed him. It's crazy.
The figure I heard numerous times, like eastern red cedars is more like 40 maybe a day.
Right.
But the eastern red cedar also will take its moisture in through its leaves, not only through the root system.
Right.
So it's like a big sponge. So.
Yeah, it is. And it burns like a big sponge.
Yes, exactly.
Because that fire you and I were talking about last week that happened at Raiden.
Right.
They had some pictures that when that thing went down that draw, then cedars were just blowing up. And I think that was the film we seen on Channel 9.
Don't remember what the humidity was, but it was in the teens at least.
Yeah, it was in the teens.
And we would never plan a prescribed burn in any kind of situation like that. We're looking at 30% humidity, even higher maybe if I'm working with somebody that hasn't been around fire.
You don't want to scare them.
A little bit safer.
You don't want to scare them.
And it depends on your objectives, what you're trying to accomplish with that fire, you know, what the prescription would be for that.
What's the number one reason you can't talk a landowner into burning?
Liability.
Right.
Liability. And let's talk about that a minute. There's a lot of folks that have gone ahead of us and talked to our legislators and governors in the past, and there is liability set up for you on your behalf doing a prescribed burn if you will get...
Not a controlled burn, a prescribed burn.
If you'll get a burn plan. And what good's a burn plan if you don't follow it? It's not any good.
You got to follow
the plan, and you'll document your weather that day. And you're covered by the liability of Oklahoma laws that are in place for prescribed burning. Now, if you burn a guy's fence up, yes, you're going to replace it, but you're not going to be able to be sued. What's the term?
Screwing up.
Yeah.
That's Jimbonics.
Yeah. I mean, things happen. I think I mentioned earlier, I've probably been over 100 burns, and we've called the fire department twice. Things happen.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, things happen.
That's what, 2%?
Yeah.
Out of 100?
And the one fire, it's pretty funny. I told the landowner, or the manager, I said, right here's where we're going to have problems. Remember that day. We're planning 6 months in advance. I said, remember that day we need to have a fire truck right here. And what the deal was, we had a cedar too close to the fire break, but it was going to cost him several thousand dollars to get down in that canyon and clean it out. So right. I said, we can get around that if we play it cautiously on that day. And I actually, in the lead torch, lighting fire, and I get a call on the radio, and he says, Greg, remember where you told me not to let the guy leave? He left, and we got problems.
Oh.
And so we called the fire department, and... we almost had it out before they got there with the equipment we had.
It wasn't catastrophic.
No. And then the second one, it got over on another landowner. He says, well, if I really thought about it, we'd just burn mine, you know, also. And that's part of your burn plan, to call all the neighbors and get their feelings ahead of time. So, you know, you don't find out afterwards.
You don't want that guy showing up right. with a shotgun.
Right. And more cases than not, Jimmy, it's they're saying, let's do it together. You know, I've always wanted to do a burn also. So if they know neighbors, that's what the association is. It's neighbors helping neighbors. It's co-oping equipment. And a lot of guys already have slide-in rigs that they use to spray their cattle with and stuff. You know, right. those work just fine.
Yeah.
And then we're getting numerous UTV spray rigs that
yep.
really are handy.
Yeah,
because
people don't realize that if you have the right spray nozzle on and you take a 50-gallon tank or 60-gallon tank in the back of a Ranger and you go through there, it's amazing what you can put out quickly.
Yes. I've actually had guys mad at me because they didn't get to spray water after the fire. And I'm like, you know, that's what makes my day if we don't have
to
spray water.
Equipment. Hey,
you know,
the equipment lasts longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Equipment lasts longer. Yeah, because we, when the river got out a couple of years ago, there was 2 8-inch rains back to back on along the North Fork in May. Well, down in the bottom, I had 30 acres of really good hay down. Big windrows. Well, the river got out, and when I showed up over there, it looked like a floating island of windrows, but it all piled up from the current of the river. And then when it went down, I took my skid loader out there and just piled it all up out in the middle. I mean, it was a couple months before.
Right.
I mean, that ground was crazy. Piled it up, and had Nelson brought us deuce and a half over with his water truck, and I parked my pickup out on the edge of the field. And we were out there just watching the fire, and I said, hey, we need to go to my truck. He said, why? I said, there's fire over there. He said, it'll be all right. I said, no, it's under my truck. We need to go. And so we dropped what we were doing and went over there. But, I mean, you just got to be careful.
Well, and I might add that Oklahoma we're ahead of almost every state in the country because of the Oklahoma mesonet system.
Yeah.
We can see the wind. We can see any wind change, you know, in the state of Oklahoma.
In a second.
We're a little bit limited since we're on the Oklahoma panhandle. I mean, the
Texas state line.
Texas state line.
Yep.
But we can see what's coming through the panhandle, especially if we got a northern wind shift, you know. And what we tried to do is plan 3 days of having the same type weather. Well, that's pretty hard to do in the spring.
Right.
That's why we've been promoting more and more to do these summer burns where you have a constant. As the chief mentioned last week, that, you know, you want to look, you're going to have some trees on fire maybe for 2 or 3 days sometimes.
Right.
If maybe not longer. So you got to plan it even that. And we've had that as a problem where the guy said, well, I'm done, you know, and doesn't go back out the next day to check his, you know.
Days later, we get a big wind, and all of a sudden there's a fire started in that area.
Fire started, and that gives us a bad name. And,
yep.
And so we try to plan at least 3 days in advance.
Well, if anybody wants to, we're running out of time. If anybody wants to do a prescribed fire burn, not a controlled, but a prescribed, how do they get a hold of whoever they need to get a hold of?
Yeah, there's 5 or 6 of us coordinators. John Weir with OSU, myself, and I live in Roger Mills County. They can simply call me. My phone number's everywhere. But
check it out on Facebook.
Yeah, but I'll give it out. It's 580-497-6548. And I can come out and write your burn plan for you. Let's plan ahead. Don't call me up and say I want to do it Wednesday, you know.
Yeah, because it doesn't work that way.
Let's plan it out. And you may want to do numerous burns and plan those over several years. And if you're thinking about having your own association, let me know about that also.
Okay.
That's I really would like to get a new group or two going in Custer, and that's kind of my goal this year, try to get those going. It may be a little bit harder with the weather conditions that we're dealing with right now. I understand that.
But like I said, you can plan.
And we can get the equipment put together for when the conditions are favorable.
Well, like I said before the show started, if you need something, just give me a call.
Right.
I got a group of guys in our Quail Forever. We got money to help you guys out. We bought some stuff for burn equipment for the WMA and Black Kettle, right, and they greatly use it and appreciate it, as you know.
Anytime we can get new equipment, we're excited. The more equipment you have, like I said, I'd rather have the equipment there and not use it than not have it.
And then I can feel it coming right now because I always get this, why would Quail Forever help out with Burn Association? We touched on it at the first of the show. Burning is good for not only the pasture, the grasses, and getting rid of some stuff that doesn't need to be growing there, but burning's also good for the wildlife, especially the quail and the turkeys.
Oh, deer. I mean, it's a natural food plot. If you do, you know, you make that grass more palatable in that area. So, and OSU's doing a lot of stuff where they're burning, instead of putting up more fences, they're only burning a fourth of the pasture. Well, what's the cattle going to do?
Yeah, I seen that over there at corn.
Right.
Or not corn, but Bessie.
And they've actually put cameras on the cattle, and they will stay. I mean, you don't have to put a fence up. They will not go. And that lets the other three quarters, say if you did a section, you burn 160. They're going to stay on the burned area.
Yeah.
And then that lets the others recover from maybe overgrazing in the past.
Well, I've had Greg Allen on here with the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. He's a Western Oklahoma coordinator for the OPBA. Did I get that right?
That's right. Yeah.
I usually switch those middle two around. But anyway, you guys got any questions? He gave his number out. And doesn't the Roger Mills Burn Association have a Facebook page?
Yes, we do. Matter of fact, I'm the one that put it together. For years, Carson Davis was president with his health. He's kind of turned that over to us, and we couldn't have made it without his jump start in the beginning.
Great. Well, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your Livestock Nutrition Center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Now back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. I'm back. Back and back. 66 degrees. Humidity 19. Winds are out of the south, or no, west, southwest at 20 miles an hour, gusting up to 26 miles an hour. It's going to be a good day to go back out there and catch goldfish. Anyway, our long ranger forecast provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden down there in Kiowa County and state capital or the capital county seat of Hobart. It's sunny, 67 today, low 33 tonight. Tomorrow, 66 degrees. Not quite as windy, but it's still going to be windy with winds out of the west at 6 to 20. Tomorrow night, 29 degrees. Thursday, 64 and not windy. Not quite windy. Oklahoma, 18 miles an hour is not windy. Thursday night, partly cloudy, 43 degrees. Hey, check this out. Friday, 20% chance of a slight shower. 67 degrees. Friday night, all hell breaks loose. 30% chance of rain. Wind switching back out of the north, coming out of the northwest, 19 for a low, and New Year's Day, 35 for a high with north winds at 21 miles an hour. So get ready. Drain those hoses. I know you haven't done them because you look at the weather forecast and you say, I'll do it later. But anyway, hey, today's Hay Day Tuesday, and I have, where is it at? Right here in my hand. Here we go. Hay prices from across the nation. This is randomly do pick these like I do. Iowa, $330 a ton delivered for premium alfalfa. Kansas, $180 to $400 a ton. That's delivered for premium alfalfa. And good alfalfa is $130 to $250. And it doesn't say anything about delivery on there. Missouri, $160 to $250 on premium. $120 to $160 on good. Nebraska, $200 to $250 on alfalfa premium. And $135 to $220 on good. Oklahoma, $185 to $200 on premium alfalfa. $130. Here we go again. Again this week, $176 a ton on good. How in the hell did they come up with that $176? Who knows? Anyway, Texas, $250 to $325. Both of those prices on premium are delivered. And $225 and $260 delivered on good alfalfa. And it looks like Kansas... No, not really. California is the highest at $310 a ton on premium alfalfa, and that's not delivered. On grass hay here we got, let's go through here, Kansas, $125 to $140 a ton on premium, $70 to $185 delivered on good grass. Then we got Missouri, $140 a ton on premium, $80 to $100 on good. Nebraska, $150 to $200 on premium, $125 to $140 on good. Oklahoma's 90 to 140 on premium and 75 to 85 on good. Texas 160 to 330 on premium grass. That's not delivered. 120 to 275 on good. That's got to, those big numbers there got to be on delivered. So anyway, but there is your hay prices for the week. Tomorrow, I have people coming in from the Department of Oklahoma Agriculture. We're going to be talking about feral hog control. And also tomorrow, I'll finish up with Heyday Tuesday because I got this really cool article on cost on doing any kind of farming, including hay. You guys don't want to miss out on that. You guys have a great day. You're listening to The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.